Inshallah, a brief lesson of Tafsir of the Quran will take place. Brothers, inshallah, participate, it will be beneficial. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم ما بعد. It's clear from the good line of sight. Just move it forward, inshallah. Brothers, come close, inshallah. You can see the screen, inshallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم ما بعد. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. الحمد لله. We're continuing with the tafsir of Surah Al-Kahf. So inshallah, I won't do any more recaps. I've been doing a recap every week and going quite slowly. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أم حسبت أن أصحاب الكهف والرقيم كانوا من آياتنا عجبا. Do you think that the incident of the people of the cave was one of our most amazing signs? I've already discussed this ayah last week, that Allah Ta'ala talks about the people of the cave in the Qur'an. A group of people who fled from their city due to fear of persecution because they were Muslims. So I mentioned through all of these points that Ashab al-Kahfi wal-Raqim, who they are. The people of the cave and the people of Raqim. Last week I mentioned a new point, that the Ashab al-Kahf, some scholars say, are those youngsters who left their home out of fear of persecution. And Ashab al-Raqim, they say, are those three youth who took shelter in the cave. And when they were in a state of difficulty, the mouth of the cave was blocked with a boulder, then they made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with their three most precious, most dear actions, and Allah ta'ala removed them and relieved them from that predicament. So these are the Ashab al-Raqim. But most of the scholars of tafsir say that they are the same group of people. Right? Not much detail, not much information has been mentioned regarding them, because in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala does not mention long stories, drawn out incidents. Allah Ta'ala only mentions those points that are relevant to our, from which we can draw lessons. So apart from the story of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, that's one story. نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ بِمَا أُحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ. Over there, Allah Ta'ala clearly, explicitly mentions that we are going to narrate to you the best of stories. And then Allah Ta'ala mentions a beautiful story which spans through us whole lengthy surah, Surah Yusuf, the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. Because every single, and even in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, it doesn't encompass every single detail. Like there are parts of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam's life which are skipped through. Allah Ta'ala only mentions those parts of his life or points in his life from which we can take some benefit. Every ayah in the Qur'an carries some benefit from us. Every ayah in the Qur'an. Everything Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Qur'an has some form of benefit we can take. So similarly, Ashab al-Kahf, The whole reason why Allah Ta'ala mentions the Ashab al-Kahf is because Allah Ta'ala is talking about His Qudrah, His power, His might. And Allah gives some small examples, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you people think this incident, because this was something that in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the people used to talk about. Oh, have you heard about the people of the cave? Have you heard about Ashab al-Kahf? Especially the Christians and the Jews, Ahlul Kitab. And along with them, many scholars say also the Mushrikun, the idol worshippers knew about this. And they would talk about it. Because it took place very close to the advent and very close to the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it was something on everybody's lips, everybody's tongues, everybody was talking about it, Ashab al-Kahf. And in the Bible as well, and in Christian scriptures, you also find mention of this. Christian scriptures also make reference to them as the seven sleepers of Ephesus. So in Christian scriptures, you can find that Ashab al-Kahf have been mentioned. In the Encyclopedia Britannica, you get this point is mentioned, that they quote some of the Christian scriptures. So we don't have all the details, and it's not necessary, but we'll go through what Allah Ta'ala mentions. إذ أوى الفتية إلى الكهف فقالوا ربنا آتنا من لدنك رحمة وهيئ لنا من أمرنا رشدا. Allah Ta'ala says that these group of youngsters, and now no detail has been mentioned, so the scholars fill in the gaps. There were so few youngsters, how many were there? The Quran discusses, and we'll go into that later. But there were a group of young men, youngsters, teenagers. And many books of tafsir mention that they were noble men. They were from noble families. And they had embraced Islam. And they believed in one Allah. At a time when the rest of the people in that city and in that locality were worshipping idols. And due to fear that they knew, their case was brought to court. And they stood in court and they argued the case for Islam. And their interlocutors, the mushrikun, had no answers to their arguments. But they left. When they left, the judgment was passed that if these young men do not leave their religion by tomorrow, they will be stoned to death. So that was the judgment that was passed. So they got wind of this. They heard news of this. So they said, there's no point remaining in this town. If we cannot practice our deen in peace, our religion in peace, then we cannot stay here. And this is a very important point even today as a Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith mentions, La hijrata ba'da al-fathi. After the conquest of Makkah, there is no migration from Makkah to Medina. If a person now migrates from Makkah to Medina, you won't get the reward of becoming a muhajir. Because muhajir reward is one of the greatest rewards in Islam. A muhajir, someone who has left his Makkah and has migrated to Medina, or has migrated to Medina in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But that's the greatest form of hijrah. Hijratul Kubra. But till the day of Qiyamah, hijratul Sughra still exists. Small hijrah or minor hijrah. Whenever a person feels restricted in practicing upon their deen, then they leave that place where there is restriction to go to another place. Allah Ta'ala mentions, قُلْ سِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, travel on the earth. That Allah Ta'ala has not made the earth very restricted and small. Go anywhere, wherever you are free to go and worship Allah Ta'ala. So this is one thing we learn. Whenever we are restricted in practicing upon our deen, it becomes necessary to leave that place of fitna, place of tribulation, to go elsewhere where we can practice our deen. What about in nowadays context, when it is difficult because of Islamophobia and all of the other things, rise of the far right, to practice our deen in this country in peace? But we still have religious freedom. As long as a person has religious freedom, it is not necessary for them to do hijrah. When a person does not have religious freedom anymore, you cannot follow the injunctions of your deen anymore, then it becomes necessary for you to go elsewhere where you can practice your deen. It's until the day of Qiyamah. Allah Ta'ala has not made it restricted. Many of our ancestors, forefathers migrated from here to there, from there to here. Even many of us who are from the Indian subcontinent, if you trace our ancestry back, it goes to other places, other lands. There's so much hijrah has happened. And, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides. But it becomes necessary. So these youngsters, when they realize we can't practice our deen here in peace, let's leave. They left. إِذْ أَوَى الْفِتْيَةُ إِلَى الْكَهْفِ. When these youngsters, they took shelter, took refuge, إِلَى الْكَهْفِ, in the kahf. Kahf is a wide, huge cave. You have one word, غار, غارٌ, غار. غار is small, like you have غار حراء, غار ثور, small caves. They're like small openings in a mountain. And then you have kahf. Kahf is like a spacious, very spacious, open cave. Right? So this was a kahf, a huge cave, because remember there was a few of them, seven of them or six of them or five of them, the Quran itself will mention. They took shelter in the cave, فَقَالُوا, and they said, رَبَّنَا, O our Rabb, O our Lord, آتِنَا مِن لَّدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً, grant us mercy from yourself, وَحَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا, and provide us with guidance in our matters, in our situation. So the ulama mentioned very important, here, I brought it here, beautiful dua when feeling helpless. When a person thinks the whole world is against them, I have no one to help me from family, friends, then this is a beautiful dua to read. And we know this dua is accepted because Allah Ta'ala accepted the dua of the Ashabul Kahf. They made this dua when they felt their no family was supporting them, no friends were supporting them, their own people had set out to kill them. They made this dua, Ya Allah, we got no food, we got no money, we got nothing. We got no support, we feel helpless. And they started to walk, and I mentioned last week, as they started to travel, they came across a shepherd. And the scholars even mentioned their names. Yamliha, Makshal Mina, and they mentioned about seven names of the Ashabul Kahf. And I've even noticed in certain Ta'weezat these names are written. I don't know if anyone's ever seen this. What's the hukum of Ta'weez is a different matter. But these names are written. Why do certain Ta'weez have these names written? Because they're pious people. And people hope by writing the names of pious people, Allah's mercy is drawn. We can't always look at deen as and everything as black and white. Certain reasons why people are doing things, you have to ask them the question, why are you doing that? Why are you writing the names of a person, of a being inside of a ta'weez, which is worn for protection? The person says, I'm not writing it because we're calling on this person, we're writing it so that they're a pious person. They write the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's Allah's Nabi. So because of Allah Ta'ala's Nabi, Allah's rahmah will come upon this person. One might say, is that necessary? Necessary or not, that does not then become shirk. Right? Shirk is only when you are calling on that person. This is a different matter altogether. But I've seen this in certain ta'weezat, we see that this happens. Because people, whenever they find a ta'weez, or they phone and say, oh, what does this mean? What does that mean? What does this name say? What does this name say? Sometimes the name of Jibreel alayhi salam, name of Mikael is written. Of course, there are lots of ta'weez which are absolutely wrong and batil. And they're calling upon jinnat, and they're calling upon devils, and they have the horns and devil faces and all these type of things. The person has to be very careful. And the greatest form is tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where you don't even need to use ta'weezat. But many scholars started to give ta'weezat. The reason for that was because people don't read. People don't read ayat of protection. Many people don't even know how to read. So they give these lockets in which they put Allah's name. Some people write ayat al-kursi in there. Some people write different surahs in there. And they say, wear it, and inshallah, it's some form of protection. But it's very limited in comparison to if you read yourself. Anyway, it's a different point altogether. But these pious people, whoever they were, these saints, these young men from this town, their names have been mentioned in the books of Tafsir, but we don't know for certain. And even then, different books mention different variations. Some books say this name was this, other Tafsirs will say their name was that. As they were traveling, they met the shepherd, as I said last week, and the shepherd had a shepherd dog with him. So the shepherd said, look, where are you going? They didn't want to mention. And then the shepherd insisted, and they said, look, we believe in one Allah, and we fear persecution from our people, so we are leaving our city. The shepherd said, I also believe in the same religion that you believe, but I have been keeping my faith secret. And you have these people, subhanallah, who are so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you won't know, and they're very ordinary people. In Surah Yasin, Allah Ta'ala mentioned the incident of another person, Habib al-Najjar, also another man who was a Najjar, a carpenter. And he came and he supported the prophets who were there in that city in spreading the message of Islam, and the people, they killed him. And after he was killed, then in the Akhirah, he's having this conversation, this dialogue which is mentioned. Ya layta qawmi ya'lamun bima ghafara li rabbi waja'alani min al-mukramin. Oh, I wish my people knew what happened to me. My people killed me because they thought I was calling them to something random, something which they didn't understand, something which was against what their forefathers, ancestors left them on. But I wish my people knew that if they believe in the messenger, if they believe in Allah and they follow the teachings of the messengers, what would happen? بِمَا غَفَرَ لِي رَبِّي وَجَعَلَنِي مِنَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ. The fact that my Allah has forgiven all my sins today, and Allah has made me from the honorable ones. If only my people knew this, then they would all become Muslim. My people, they're just not understanding. Right? So you have these people. They don't have to be prophets, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses them. And normally these are people with very clean hearts. Very clean hearts. They hold no hostility, no hatred, no anger towards any Muslim. Hearts are very clean. These people are chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last week's hadith, that was all about this. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned, أخلص دينك يكفيك العمل القليل. Make your entire religion, make everything that you do sincerely only for the sake of Allah, then very few deeds will be sufficient for you. You don't need to do much. Because good-hearted people, whatever they do only for Allah. They don't, you know, they're not crowd-pleasing, trying to show off, trying to please other people. So they met the shepherd. The shepherd said, please take us with you. So he went with them. And with them was this dog. They tried to, books of tafsir say they were throwing, pelting little pebbles at the dog to make the dog go. But the dog went with them. Some books of tafsir say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed the dog to speak. And the dog said, please let me go with you. I want to be with you in this dunya and I want to be with you in the akhirah. The dog, right? To us, a dog is supposed to be a creature of impurity. But nowadays we see a lot of youngsters, they're walking around with dogs. Someone said to me, I'd rather English person has a dog than our Asians have dogs. The reality. The Englishman, at least he knows what to do with his dog. He knows how to tame him. You see these boys walking around the streets with dogs double the size of them, and the dog is pulling them, not them pulling the dog. And it's scary even confronting that person, because he looks like he's holding on for dear life. And all of his friends are walking 5 meters behind him because they don't want to go near the dog. So I don't know why we need to have these dogs. It's sad that even in madrasa, when you speak to the students, many of the students, children, will say that, oh, we've got relatives, they've got a dog here, they've got a dog in the home, they've got a dog in... Why do we need to keep dogs? The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa mentioned the hadith, أُمِرْتُ بُعِثْتُ لِأَقْتُلَ الْكِلَابِ. I've been sent to kill all the dogs. The reason for mentioning this hadith was so that the love of dogs, which is actually a natural thing many times. Dog is a natural, friendly pet, right? So this love of the dog leaves the heart of the Muslims of the time. And they just understand. And after this, when the love was, there was no love for the dog or affection towards the dog, then the Prophet ﷺ said, look, you don't need to do anything. But don't keep dogs as pets. They're not supposed to be kept as pets. Anyway, this dog went with them. And last week I mentioned how some scholars of tafsir mentioned on the day of Qiyamah, this dog will also enter Jannah, or he won't enter Jannah in the form of a dog, he will enter Jannah in the form of a man by the name of Bal'am bin Ba'ura. And I explained his incident. I know there's a lot of new faces here, but shall I explain his incident? I don't want to digress and recap that. So this group of people, they went into this cave and they thought, what do we do? Everybody's looking for us. And remember, if we take the tafsir that the person who was looking for them and wanted to kill them was the Roman emperor of the time, Emperor Decius, then they would have been terrified. Because he was a tyrant emperor who was known for killing people who opposed him. So it made sense for them to think, you know what, we can't leave now. We've got nowhere to go. We've never left our city. The first time we've left our city, our town, we don't know where to go. Ya Allah, we are totally helpless. This is, a person feels absolutely helpless. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy comes. As long as a person realizes the only one who can help me is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, when he had to leave Egypt, Fir'aun and his army were chasing the Prophet Musa alayhi salam, and he went all the way to Madian, so far away. And he took shelter under a tree. He had no one with him, no food, no money, nowhere to go, no shelter, no refuge. He said, Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. Oh Allah, whatever good you send my way, I am desperately in need of it. Rabbi, oh my Rabb, inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. Oh Allah, I am desperately in need of any goodness that you send my way. I've got nowhere else to go, I'm helpless. And then Allah Ta'ala's help came straight away. So here similarly, these youngsters, they said, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِن لَّدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً. Oh Allah, grant us rahmah from yourself. Be merciful towards us, shower us with your mercy. And in this situation that we're in, please, oh Allah, give us some guidance. We don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. So I mentioned this point, meaning, oh Allah, make us successful in all of our endeavors and grant us the means to achieve this in a manner which is pleasing to you. Scholars have mentioned that this is one of the best du'as that a person can read when fearful of trials and tribulations, especially to their iman. When a person is fearing trials fitan to their iman, this is one of the most effective du'as to read. And we can see that Allah Ta'ala answered it right here. So inshallah, the way Allah Ta'ala answered it for those people, Allah will answer it for us. As long as our intention is only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Tawakkul goes all the way. Reliance, utmost reliance on Allah. And it's not easy, But the simple people have more of it, and that's why the simple people, Allah's chosen people, people academic, educated, intellectual, complicated, these people struggle with tawakkul. They struggle with qualities, because we all, you know, ideologies and everything's in our mind. People who are simple people, they don't lose their iman over small matters. And people who are complicated, have access to too much information, are too well-read, too well-educated, they lose their iman quickly, and this is the day and age that we live in. Just one generation before, two generations, three generations before, when people were not so well educated, not so aware of everything that's out there, simple people, their iman was stronger than mountains. Our grandparents, our great grandparents, stronger than mountains, their iman. Our grandmothers, grandfathers, and you see the difficulties that they go through in their lives, and you think, if I went through that difficulty, I don't know what would have happened, I would have gone crazy. But they're like rocks, they're like mountains. So it shows wherever the simplicity, and this is why in our deen, simplicity is beloved. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised to say it with simple people. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say to his sahaba, al-badadatu min al-iman. Simplicity is from iman, being simple. So, and where there's simplicity and there's no overcomplication, there are strong qualities. Generosity, fear of Allah, tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when there's too much information and too much in noise, then there is, maybe it might be right, it could be wrong, I heard him say this, I heard them say that, maybe this one, maybe that one, and then a person's confused. Even when they're making dua to Allah, they're thinking, oh, is Allah really going to listen to my dua? Is Allah going to answer my dua? I don't know what's happening. Is Allah really there? Where was Allah? You see, all of these things are playing in their mind. And when a person is simple, blank slate, they have none of this. So they make dua, they get it, they say, what, you can debate. I tried and tested my... I begged my Allah 100 times, every time I asked, I got whatever I needed. Every time in my life I was stuck, I asked Allah and I got what I wanted. That's what he will say. He'll say, I don't want to hear your complicated discussions. But now we fall into discussions and say, you know what, I think, you know, I'm very good. I can win a debate, an argument with someone else and explain how the proof of existence of Allah and this and that. But there's no strength in their iman. There is no heavy reliance on Allah that whatever happens, I'm going to ask Allah, and Allah is the only one who can remove and who can resolve my situation, who can right my situation. This was the unshakable iman of the prophets and the unshakable iman of the sahaba. Right? An unshakable iman of these pious people. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا. Ya Allah, we are helpless, we are in your hands, please, O Allah, make things easy for us. And look how Allah's assistance came in the most ajeeb, strangest, miraculous ways. فَضَرَبْنَا عَلَىٰ آذَانِهِمْ فِي الْكَهْفِ سِنِينَ عَدَدًا. Allah Ta'ala says, so they made dua, straight after that, our nusra, our help, our assistance came. فَضَرَبْنَا عَلَىٰ آذَانِهِمْ. We blocked their ears, we placed a seal over their ears. فِي الْكَهْفِ, in the cave, سِنِينَ عَدَدًا, for a number of years. What happened? Allah Ta'ala made it such that these people, they were in the cave, they were talking to each other, they made dua to Allah Ta'ala, and then they all fell into deep sleep. Some books of tafsir, they say, one of them was sent, look, we're here now, we're hungry, go to somewhere and try and get some food for us or something. So they sent him, and when he came back, he saw that everybody had fallen asleep. He also felt drowsy, he sat down, he fell asleep. Not only that, the dog that was with them, that dog also went to sleep. And how long did they sleep for? Difference of opinion, but the scholars say, most accepted opinion is 309 years. Sleep. To the extent, and they slept. And Allah Ta'ala made it such that everything happened so miraculously, subhanAllah, that their bodies were not even affected. You know, even if a person is comatose, in a vegetable state or something, or is on a life support machine for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, the other day we went to see someone, one of our brothers, his relative is in hospital. He's been in that state for ages. And his bones, muscles, everything. Because of being in one state for so long, the body is not moving. So what happens is the body starts to give way. You start, you know, muscles, pains, and so many things can happen. 309 years, Allah Ta'ala would make it such that their bodies would turn. And then their bodies would turn again. Once in the morning, their bodies would turn. Once in the evening, their bodies would turn again. So the ground doesn't start to eat their bodies. Some books of tafsir say somebody would be sent from the ghaib, from the unseen, that go there and just turn them over. They're going to turn them over. And the dog, he fell asleep right in front of the mouth of the cave. If somebody came close by, they would see a dog there, and he looked very scary. People say, well, no, can't go. There's a scary dog there. And books of tafsir, I'm mentioning different books of tafsir. Allah knows best the exact haqiqah because it's not in the Quran. They say that he slept with his eyes open, the dog. So if you saw the dog, you would think that he was awake and alive. And similarly, if you saw the Ashabul Kahf, you would think that they were awake and alive. The way that Allah Ta'ala had put them to sleep, if somebody went near them, they would feel this haybah, this fear, this, terror, that they would not go near them. Basically in a state of undisturbed sleep. And what does Allah Ta'ala say? فَضَرَبْنَا عَلَىٰ Beautiful expression of the Qur'an. فَضَرَبْنَا عَلَىٰ آذَانِهِمْ We sealed over their ears. Allah Ta'ala did not say أَنَمْنَاهُمْ We put them to sleep. Allah says we sealed their ears. Meaning not only were they sleeping, they were in the deepest form of sleep. Sealing of ears. People buy earplugs, right, to go to sleep so that nothing disturbs them. Meaning no sound could be heard. Anything that was happening around them would not be able to disturb them. Deepest of sleep, undisturbed sleep. And subhanAllah, other things the scholars mentioned, and it will come here anyway. So we sealed up their hearing, putting them to sleep in the cave for a number of years. Sinina adada. Quran does not explicitly mention how many years here, but the Mufassirun mentioned 309 years. The sealing of the hearing refers to such deep sleep that they could not hear any noises or sounds. ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ لِنَعْلَمَ أَيُّ الْحِزْبَيْنِ أَحْصَى لِمَا لَبِثُوا أَمَدًا After this long period of sleep, 309 years, people have died, their children have died, their children have died. You can imagine, three centuries before now it was industrial revolution or some stuff going on, right? It's a whole different age, it's a whole different time. But the scholars say, because why are they called Ashabul Raqim? Ashab al-Kahfi wal-Raqim, the people of the cave and the people of the tablet, one of the reasons is because the king, after these people fled, because they were noble children, they weren't nobodies. They were people from very respectable, noble families. So their names, as well as their names of their fathers, were written on this tablet, this stone tablet, and it was kept with them, the people. So people knew that these youngsters had fled. They were... And their names were preserved in the tablet because they were never found. And some books of tafsir mention that tablet was kept in the public treasury. So it was still, till that day people had access to it. When they opened the public treasury, that tablet was there with the names of those people and the names of the fathers. ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ After 309 years, Allah Ta'ala says, we raised them. Then we raised them. لِنَعْلَمَا So that we may ascertain, we may establish. أَيُّ الْحِزْبَيْنِ أَحْصَى لِمَا لَبِثُ أَمَدًا I will just do this ayah and then the explanation and then inshallah we'll pause there. Which of the two groups is more accurate in terms of calculating the period, the duration that they had stayed? Now, Allah Ta'ala is saying the only reason we raised them, we could have made them pass away. All of this is Allah Ta'ala just showing His power. We raised them up so that they could discuss, how long have we been sleeping here? If Sajidah fell asleep and he wakes up, he doesn't expect to be sleeping more than a day. Even if he was so tired, he had 1 hour sleep yesterday, he's thinking, I probably slept 10 hours, 12 hours. Nobody in their mind would think, I slept for 309 years. So Allah Ta'ala wanted to see what discussion they would have. So when they woke up, some books of tafsir say that their nails were very long, the beards were very long. So there were signs that their body had, there was still activity, natural activity that takes place in their body. So look around this. Otherwise, why would they ask a question? There'd be no need to ask a question. This is what some books of tafsir say. Other books of tafsir say they were just normally talking. And what happened is, when they went to sleep, it was morning, and when they woke up, it was night. So most of them started to say, you know what? We probably just slept for the day, morning till night. But then when they looked around and they saw their long nails and long beards and long... And they said, no. Something's wrong here. Something doesn't make sense here. Something's questionable here. When they woke up from this miraculous sleep, they started to discuss amongst themselves how long they had been sleeping. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already knew the duration. Here the ayah says, لِنَعْلَمَ So that we may know. But Allah knew, Allah wanted to see their discussion. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just demonstrating his power, his qudra. And for his servants, like Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, Rabbi arini kayfa tuhyi al-mawta. Oh my Rabb, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam said, please show me, how do you raise the dead? So Allah Ta'ala doesn't need to show Ibrahim alayhi salam. We haven't seen anyone rising from the dead. Allah Ta'ala said, "Awalam tu'min, O Ibrahim, do you not believe?" Ibrahim alayhi salam, who would not believe if Ibrahim alayhi salam? Ibrahim alayhi salam said, "Bala, ya Rab, oh I believe, wallah, walakin liyatma'inna qalbi, I just want to see. I just want to see a demonstration." Allah Ta'ala says, "Okay, look over there." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, said, "Get these birds and put them into pieces and put them in different mountains," and then Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam saw the birds join together and become alive again. Just an example, demonstration, for Allah there is nothing. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam said, "Oh Allah, I want to see you." Allah said, "You won't be able to see me. Walakin unzur ila al-jabal, look at that mountain, and I will manifest a tiny flicker of my being, my presence onto that mountain. If you can bear that, then you'll be able to see me." But it's not possible in this dunya. Allah has not created inside of us the capacity to witness Allah in this dunya. Musa alayhi salam looked at the mountain, Allah Ta'ala's dhat, ثم تجلى ربه للجبل وجعله دكا وخر موسى صعيقا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has manifested a tiny, 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 you know, how to even explain it, a tiny flicker, right, a glimpse of his being onto the mountain. The mountain shattered into dust, and Musa alayhi salam fell down unconscious, couldn't bear it. In this dunya you can't see it, but Allah can do whatever he wants, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's just Allah Ta'ala's qudra at play. So like I said, this is an example. Allah Ta'ala is saying, you people are talking about Ashabul Kahf, let me tell you some information about Ashabul Kahf, some facts. Because you're just conjecture. Right now what you're saying is all theoretical. You don't really know. Let me tell you the reality, because I was there. I was the one who gave them this long sleep. And I was the one who allowed this and this and this to happen. And then Allah Ta'ala goes into more jalal. And then Allah mentions another incident of Musa alayhi salam and Khidr alayhi salam, which we will get to. There are different opinions regarding who the two, you know, these two groups. Allah Ta'ala says, ثُمَّ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ لِنَعْلَمَ أَيُّ الْحِزْبَيْنِ, which of the two groups were more accurate? So who are the two groups that Allah Ta'ala is watching? Some scholars, they say the two groups are two groups from those people, from the youngsters in the cave. From them there were two groups. One of them said, no, it can't be this long, it's probably this long we slept. The other said, it was that long we slept. Another opinion is that the two groups were the Mushrikun and the Muslimun, or the Mushrikun and the Yahud and Nasara. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the idol worshippers, the Mushrikun, they would talk about the Ashabul Kahf, but they would say, "Oh yeah, the Ashabul Kahf was slept for X amount of years." And the Yahud and Nasara, the Christians and the Jews, Ahlul Kitab, they would say, "Oh, the Ashabul Kahf slept for X amount of years." So they had a difference of opinion. So Allah Ta'ala is saying, we raise them so that we will see which of these two groups who are arguing had the best, most accurate amount. So like I said, there's no need for this. This is Allah Ta'ala just displaying his power and might. Another opinion is, it's the people of the cave and the people of the village. Because when they came out, people of the city, when they went to the city, the people of the city said, "How long have they been sleeping?" When they found out that it was them, how long? And then they started to guess. Maybe this many years, maybe that many years, maybe this many years. Right. So anyway, so inshallah, maybe we'll pause there. After this, نحن نقص عليك نبأهم, inshallah, we'll do from next week. Any questions? Inshallah. Allah Ta'ala give us the ability to benefit from these lessons of Quran, inshallah. Inshallah, it's nice to see a few more people. Inshallah, we should try and encourage others to come as well. Once a week, lesson of tafsir of the Quran. Inshallah, we'll benefit. We'll take something back with us. And if you have any questions as well, we can ask, inshallah. SubhanAllah.